Hi guys, let's take another quick NBA check-in on a bunch of teams in today's show. We're going to be looking at six teams in today's show, so let's get stuck straight into it. It's check-in time for the Dallas Mavericks, having a look at what's going on with them and what we could potentially predict for the future. There's been some injuries in Dallas, Dennis Smith dealing with a wrist injury, Wes Matthews in his hamstring, and Dwight Powell also missed the last couple of games with a knee injury. Smith is back, as is Matthews. Powell is still questionable for Wednesday's game. Smith's been a little bit disappointing over the last 2 weeks. He's only played 25 minutes a game. Some of that is wrist-related. Some of that is also the play of JJ Barea. If Dennis Smith is on my waiver wire, I would add him, but I wouldn't be expecting top 80 or any numbers sort of like that. His usage is being capped by the presence of Luka Doncic and DeAndre Jordan. His percentages, while they have improved, they're still not fantastic. He's solid enough as a player, but hardly someone to get overly excited about. Well, JJ Barea over the last 2 weeks is actually a top 110 player because he's averaging 6 assists per game in 24 minutes. Now, he's shooting a ridiculous 60% during that time, so that's likely to dip. Including 75% in on his two-pointers. But as an assists stream guy, there's not many better players than JJ Barea. Harrison Barnes is back after his hamstring injury slowed down the start of his season. Over the last 2 weeks, he is barely a top 100 player despite averaging 20 points per game. And if Dennis Smith's return does cut into Barnes's usage at all over the course of the season, I think we'll find it hard for the pencil to remain a top 100 player. I think he does slide out of that, and I think he will not remain as a he will not remain as a 20-point per game scorer. Doncic is just fantastic. He's going to be most likely a top 40 guy for the rest of this season, putting up big numbers in rebounds, good points, good assist numbers, solid steals, solid percentages. He's just really, really good. While DeAndre Jordan continues to shoot his free throws well, 72%, and I think we have to look at that as a real factor. Another good stream options on this Dallas team. Maxi Kleber is averaging 1.5 blocks per game over his last 5 games, and Dorian Finney-Smith averaging 1.4 steals over his last 5 games. So some interesting stream options combined with Barea, but not much to really look at with this team in terms of long-term upside plays. I think we're getting a lot of what they're going to be happening right now. Let's check in now on the Denver Nuggets, who, surprisingly, their best-performed fantasy player over the last 2 weeks has been Paul Millsap, on the back of some very, very hot shooting. 58% from the field, almost 2 steals and over 1.5 blocks. So this is a perfect sell-high time for Millsap. These are numbers which are completely unsustainable. He's doing it in only 26 minutes per game. He won't maintain this level of steals. He won't maintain this level of blocks, and he won't maintain this level of shooting. So if you can trade out Paul Millsap for any sort of top 40 player, I'd be looking to do that. Of course, the Nuggets still have to reintroduce Fartin Will Barton back into the rotation, and that's going to change some things. So it is going to lose some usage for guys like Jamal Murray, for Paul Millsap most likely, perhaps Gary Harris, who's dealing with his ankle problem at the moment. Barton is still about a week or two away from returning, and when he comes back, I imagine it will be a slow integration back into the lineup, and I wouldn't be surprised if he remains on the bench for Juancho Hernangómez, who's been starting and playing well. Juancho over the last 2 weeks is actually a top 100 player. He's scoring 14 points per game, and he's shooting well, 49% and 88%, averaging 7 rebounds. So there is some short-term value there. I wouldn't classify him as a must-roster player, but to me, he's the guy who's really stepped up the most and deserves the most attention, while Monty Morris is a player who's getting you a lot of assists, over 4.5 assists per game over his last 7. He's not doing too much more apart from that, but he can be a stream option there. This is a team who's got their eyes on a top 4 seed in the Western Conference, so there's not going to be guys who really take big steps up later in the season to elevate into larger roles. But what I will think we'll see is more improvement from Gary Harris and from Jamal Murray, who have been a little bit shaky to start this season, although both of those guys are shooting 38% from 3 over the last 2 weeks. And Nikola Jokic is way down in his numbers. He is an ultimate buy low player, shooting 38% and 24% from the field and from 3 respectively over his last 7 games. Still averaging 8.5 rebounds, which is a bit down. 7.6 assists, 1.4 steals, and 0.4 blocks. The blocks will come up, the field goal percentage will come up, the free throw attempts will come up, the three-pointers will come up. He should be able to vault himself back into that top 12 discussion pretty quickly. So I'd be looking to buy low on Nikola Jokic if I have that opportunity. Let's do a check-in now on the Detroit Pistons. Andre Drummond really struggling with his free throws, 36% from the line over the last 2 weeks, and that puts him at the season at 53%, very much firmly back as being a punt-only free throw guy. It's pretty disappointing. It's clearly a mental issue, and it's getting him down. Maybe there'll be some improvement, but after last season, where he started off hot, he did start to regress back down to his previous sort of numbers. Not quite at that 30% that he was shooting in previous seasons, but the numbers did start to drop off, and we've seen that carry over into this season. Reggie Bullock is not a 12-team league guy, in my opinion. He's been okay, averaging 2 threes per game, but he doesn't do a huge amount else. Over the last 2 weeks, he is giving you over a steal and almost 3 assists, but those are not numbers which are likely to continue for Bullock. While Stan Johnson, probably the biggest surprise packet, he moved to the bench, but in 22 minutes a game, he's a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks with 12 points, 1.7 steals, and 3 rebounds. Of course, the very hot shooting, 52% from the field, is really elevating his numbers there, and this is a guy who's never had a season of shooting over 40%, so expecting 50% shooting is unrealistic, but 14-team formats, I think you want to pay some attention to Johnson. The Duck, Luke Kennard, he is due back pretty soon, and I think he's going to be taking the little dog, Glenn Robinson, the third's minutes in the rotation, and I think at some point we're going to see Kennard starting. He does have a well-rounded fantasy game and ability to rebound, score, hit threes, get assists, and get steals, and if he ever finds his way into 28 minutes, he will be a 12-team league guy. So keep an eye on Kennard at the moment. Not a must-grab guy, not a must-roster player, but I think by January we'll see him in a fairly sizable role with Robinson out. And I wouldn't be surprised if he takes on a 28 to 30 minute role, taking some of Langston Galloway or Reggie Bullock or Stan Johnson and Robinson's minutes. It's going to take some time, though, for that to be the case. Bruce Brown, the Shark, he's been in the rotation lately. He is a steals specialist. Think along the lines of someone like Shaq Harrison. Well, I have to give a shout out to Blake Griffin, who is averaging 27 points over his last 6 games, including 2.5 threes. He is a top 15 player in fantasy at the moment, putting up great numbers, and you just hope that this is the season that he doesn't get injured. It might be false hope, but that's what you've got to hope if you do have him. Otherwise, you could try and trade him away and see if you can get back top 20-ish value. It might be a long shot, but that's what you should be looking to do with Griffin's injury history. Let's do a fantasy check-in now on the Golden State Warriors. Of course, Steph Curry has been missing for the last 2 weeks with his groin injury, and that's enabled Kevin Durant to put up some huge numbers, averaging 33 points per game over those 2 weeks. So with Curry returning, even though Durant's only shooting 24% from three, with Curry returning, and then after Christmas, DeMarcus Cousins returning, Durant is going to see a reduction. He has a usage of 39%. Klay Thompson has a usage of 33% over these last games, and that is not going to be able to stick at that level. So that's going to drop his scoring down. He's always been a low steals guy. His threes aren't quite there this season, Durant. So I think if you could have a sell high moment on him and try and do it for someone like Harden or Davis, I'd be really investigating doing that with Durant, because this is a significant hot streak. The same with Klay Thompson, who, despite this high usage, he's still only the 73rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 25 points. It's because he just doesn't do enough in these other areas, and his efficiency has suffered this season. It's not as high as what it's been in the past, 44% over the last 7 games, and that's why I don't think he's going to be this top 30 guy that we've seen at times over the past 3 to 4 seasons. So I wouldn't be looking at Thompson at rank 73 and going, well, he's going to improve significantly. I think he can probably get worse from here, to be honest. Quinn Cook's time is pretty much done, so you can move on from him, while the center mess continues to be a mess. Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, Damo Jones, it's all going to become moot when DeMarcus Cousins returns. You can stream Jones and Looney in for defensive stats. Jordan Bell just doesn't play enough, while Draymond Green, his return should be coming soon, and pushing himself back into being a top 50, maybe top 40 sort of a guy. But his numbers this season have been well down on previous years as well. We'll see whether he can resurrect that at any point, but his return is pretty near on the horizon. Okay, it's time to do a check-in now on the Houston Rockets. Chris Paul dealing with what was initially called a leg injury, but then Mike D'Antoni said it was a hamstring problem. We know that Paul missed tons of time last season with a hamstring injury. He is the 13th ranked player over the last 2 weeks on a per-game basis, averaging 8 assists, and has his shooting touch back, but this hamstring is a legitimate worry. And if I could trade Chris Paul for any sort of top 25 player, I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm just worried that he is going to miss another 10 to 15 games this season. I think that's a legitimate concern, and that's not not going to be great, especially if that comes during the fantasy playoffs. That's your real concern. Harden is the number one player over the last 2 weeks, but his teammate Clint Capella is the number six guy, averaging 20 and 14. His minutes are through the roof, 37 minutes a night. Maybe that gets reduced when Nene returns, but given he has earned the trust of Mike D'Antoni, that doesn't necessarily mean that he is going to lose those minutes. Now, he could stay at a pretty high level. PJ Tucker and the Comet Gary Clark, they're just really defensive steals and blocks streamers. Tucker for steals, Clark for blocks. While James Ennis is producing okay numbers, a top 140 player, averaging 10 points with 3 rebounds, but it's mainly because he's shooting 51% from the field and 1.3% from, 1.3 steals per game. Eric Gordon's an interesting one who, you know, puts up big games when Chris Paul's out, but still over the last 2 weeks, he's only the 113th ranked player, and I don't think he finishes the season top 100. So in an 8-team league or in a 10-team league, while it would be foolish to drop Gordon now that Paul is out, when Chris Paul comes back or even when Paul is out, I would look to trade Gordon. Otherwise, I'd consider dropping him in those shallower formats because he just cannot put up the numbers when those other guys are there. Isaiah Hartenstein has shown some flashes this season, but given this team, you know, wants to compete and they're pushing to get better, I don't think we're going to see too much of a change from him moving forward in terms of moving into any sort of a larger role. Let's talk about the Indiana Pacers now. Check in on them. Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner are both top 35 players over the last 2 weeks. 26 minutes a game for Sabonis, 27 minutes for Miles Turner. Turner's blocking a shit ton of shots, 3.3 per game. But impressively, and something he's been criticized for, is he is getting 8 rebounds per game. Sabonis at 16 and 12 is putting up those numbers, of course. He lacks in the defensive stats. Both of these guys are thriving on their own and together as well. So it's been impressive to see that. While Bojan Bogdanović is on one of his patented hot streaks, the 59th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging almost 19 points per game. But have a look at how it's coming. 57% from three, 59% from the field, and very little else. Under 4 rebounds, under 2 assists, 0.7 steals. So when those numbers cool back off, and you know that they will, he's going to go back to being a non-standard league must-roster player. Of course, it helps that Victor Oladipo has been out. Now, I'm a little bit worried about Oladipo and his knee. He's missed the last 4 or 5 games with that problem, and when he comes back, who knows whether he's going to be able to go full steam straight away or whether this is going to be a lingering issue. With him out, Darren Collison's leapt his performances up. He's averaging under two steals a game and 6.5 assists over the last 2 weeks, but had back-to-back 11 assists games. Aaron Holiday has jumped up in deeper leagues, averaging 11 points in his time. And if the Pacers do make any move and say Corey Joseph or Collison ends up getting traded, Holiday would be someone to watch, more for deeper leagues, but he's shown enough in his limited time so far. He's shot the ball quite well, not from three, only 25% from three, but yeah, he's scoring well, he's getting some assists, he's showing enough out there to show that he can be an interesting player, especially for next season when a lot of these guys are destined to leave. Tyreke Evans has been starting for Victor Oladipo, but he hasn't been doing a huge amount in those roles. I don't think he is a 12-team league guy, while Thad Young also is on the periphery of 12-team formats. His minutes are down this season, he's not doing a huge amount. He really should be considered a steals specialist, and that's really about it. So that's it for the Pacers, just awaiting that return of Victor Oladipo, but good to see Turner regaining some of the promise and touch that he had earlier on in his career.